Let's turn to God's word and we'll continue reading with, first of all, from Mark chapter 7, reading verses 20 to 30. And after that, we'll turn to 1 Timothy 1. You might like to put your finger in it ready. Reading verses 12 to 17. Jesus went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It's entitled "The Lord's Grace to Paul," and Paul's letter to Timothy. "I thank Christ Jesus for our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen."
Hello everyone, and welcome to 2023. So I got a call from Michael yesterday. My name's Jared, by the way, and with Linda and I, we co-passed with Michael and Lynn. And so Michael was rung me early yesterday morning saying that he's got COVID, and so I had to step up. And as you see, the music is, you know, was lovely. Did you like the mixing of the tunes there? You never know which Amazing Grace to sing, do you? But it sounded nice. I could hear you. It was good. Okay, I've got my wife, Linda, and I've got my eldest son down the back there. I've got my daughter, Letitia, and you would know probably Letitia and Harley, her husband. Please make yourself known to them. They don't get to come here very often, so you can see our extended bit of extension of Linda and I. So Linda and I have just been on a camp at Portland, as a lot of you would know in the prayer. So I work for ESA Country Ministries as well, and we run a teenage camp. It was grade 6 to grade 12. And I think when you go into those, just running those camps, I think they're bigger than Linda and I. And so I know we have been in your prayers in this regard, and I think that's what fills what's lacking in us. And so we really appreciate the support we have prayerful from you guys. So we've been running this study for about seven, camp for about 7 years. And the team through COVID, the director of that camp got a Bible study going. So over COVID, we went through the book of Mark. And so we also got to know them pretty well and get to know them around God's word, which was a really good time. COVID wasn't necessarily a good time, but that was a good time. And so when we do a camp together, we know each other really well, and we're just of one heart and one mind, and we're very deliberate about the health of the camp, caring for the campers, and making the gospel clear. And we had a speaker, Tim Curtis was his name. He spoke a very clear gospel message, and it raised questions for people. And people had to wrestle with God's word like they hadn't before, or if they hadn't for a while. It inspired some of the campers to action. So there was a young 13-year-old girl. I just asked at the end of camp as we debrief and go our way, is anyone inspired to do anything from camp? And this girl was inspired to give a Bible to every house in her street. And then there's one of the leaders who, you know, through the parents and myself as well, wanted to support her in doing that. So he gave $100 to get her going. Gave it to her dad. And there's another girl, 17-year-old, and she was actually in our youth Bible study that we ran through COVID from isolated places in Victoria out the west. And she wanted to start a Bible study for her youth. And she goes to a Catholic church. That's where our parents go. So I had quite a busy day yesterday, sort of pulling something together. So please be gracious to me as I share with you here today. So Michael and Lynn were going to, they were going to be here, but they're here in spirit. We have their support and they would be praying for us. And he was going to share one of the verses that he had in mind was Proverbs 29:18. And it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions. And I like it in the NLT as well. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the laws is joyful. So, I might just pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is living. Thank you that your word challenges us. It challenges us to go deeper into you. And sometimes it's hard and uncomfortable, Lord, but let's still be willing to go there. Help us to be willing to go to hard places. Bless this time, Lord. Help us to hear what you have to say. Not me, but you. In Jesus' name, amen. So does Lakes Entrance Baptist Church have a vision? Yep. Thank you. Yeah, we do. It's on the website. And it goes, and Michael was doing a bit of that through last year, celebrating the love of God in relevant worship, growing people towards Christ's likeness, caring for each other with the compassion of Jesus Christ, reaching out with the love and message of Jesus Christ, and providing a godly point of view within the community. Yeah, but we can never take this for granted. And we need to encourage each other and to remind each other. We need to teach the truth, and we need to take the truth from here, from our homes, from our Bible studies, our communities. Jesus says it this way, go. We've touched on some of that today. So that's in Matthew 28:18. So that's go to the shops, go to the swimming pool, go to the beach, go to work, go out for a meal, go out with your friends, go to the old folks' home, go walking, go riding, go to your connection points online and take this message with you. I remember when we, I think it might have been the first week we were here, and we were down near the traffic lights on a park bench there, and Roland just walked by, and I didn't know him at this stage, and he made himself known to us and just encouraged us. And I think he has a bit of a routine. Is Roland still here? No, no, can't see Roland. But yeah, he has a bit of a routine of a walk, but he talks with people. He doesn't. And Louise said, we all have a testimony to take to the community. Thank you for that lovely prayer that you prayed. It was great to participate with you, Louise. And again, I saw Messy Church down there. It was a bit of a whirlwind for me because I arrived here and there's just so much stuff to go down there, and everyone just had their roles and it was just happening. And yes, it was very encouraging to see. To see the joyful willingness to go beyond the man-made boundaries to out there. That's what's good to see. So Mark 7:24-30. I might just read a bit of this again. Then Jesus left Galilee and he went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it secret. Right away, a woman who had heard him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, first I should feed the children of my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. There's some hard things in the Bible, isn't there? I think this is one of them to grapple with and to get a handle on. However, I don't think we should shy away from them. Do you remember that another hard teaching in the Bible when Jesus said he was the bread of life? A lot of his followers left him at that time. They couldn't handle that teaching. And Jesus said to his disciples, will you leave too? And Peter answers it in John 6:68-69. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So hang in there when things are tough. It's God who will give you understanding in time. We're all still learning. So I'm importing a little bit of help from Tim Curtis. He's a pastor at Rope Factory in Warrigal Church. And he was our speaker on camp. And he does these little drawings and teaches some stuff. So I'm going to get Tim to do this chunky part of this text for us. So would you like to play that for us, Joel?
Jesus, who is a Gentile. That means she was not one of God's people. She was not one of the children of Israel. She came to see Jesus because her little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. And so she came to Jesus. She got down on her knees and begged him to heal her daughter. She obviously believed that Jesus could set her child free from this horrible power of evil. But surprisingly, Jesus did not do what she asked straight away. Instead, listen to what he said to her. It is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Those are hard words that Jesus said to this woman, aren't they? He said, I'm not going to help you, because instead of being one of God's children, you're a Gentile. You are like a dog. In Jesus' day, a dog was an unclean animal that people kept away from. It's very hard to understand why Jesus said this to a woman in great need. It seems so unkind and rude. But we need to think carefully about what Jesus was doing, because I don't think Jesus was ever unkind or rude. Instead, I think Jesus was doing something very kind, even if it was quite hard. I think Jesus was challenging this woman to believe the gospel, to believe Jesus' teaching about what she was really like. Because here's the thing, Jesus has hard things to say to all of us, not just this woman. Listen to what Jesus said about everyone just before this woman came to see him. For from within, out of a person's heart, evil thoughts come and make a person unclean. Jesus was saying there, it doesn't matter if we're children or adults, men or women, all of our hearts produce evil thoughts and words and actions, and those things make us unclean before God, unacceptable to him. They're like a big stain in our hearts and in our lives that God can't stand. Our sinful hearts mean we don't deserve any blessings or any help from Jesus. We're unclean. And I think Jesus was challenging this woman, do you believe this is true about you? When he called her an unclean dog. I guess what we're seeing here is this. Coming to Jesus is a bit like coming to see the doctor. If you want to be healed of a terrible disease, you first have to accept the doctor's hard words that you have the disease. And only then can you be healed. And it's just like that with Jesus. If we want to be healed from our sins, washed clean and forgiven by him, then we first need to accept that we have a horrible, unclean sin problem in our hearts. Well, this woman did accept Jesus' hard words when he called her an unclean dog. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She was saying to Jesus, look, I may be an undeserving and unclean person. I accept that. I'm like a dog that doesn't deserve anything. But people still show kindness to dogs. So please, will you show kindness to me? And because this woman humbled herself and accepted Jesus' hard words about her, he did show kindness to her. He did bless her. He did rescue her child from the power of evil. Then Jesus told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And here is the wonderful thing. If we accept Jesus' hard words about who we are, as this woman did, if we believe the gospel as this woman did, then we also will be blessed by Jesus, as she was. If we come to Jesus on our knees, calling him Lord and admitting we have a sin problem in our hearts that makes us unclean and undeserving, then Jesus will forgive us. He will wash our hearts clean from all our sins. He will accept us and heal us and save us from the power of evil forever. And instead of being unclean dogs, he will one day make us into perfect children of God. And that's the best news in the world. In Mark chapter 7, a woman comes to see Jesus who is...
Remember, Jesus is always being loving and kind. And he tells it like it is for our benefit and for our good. That's just who he is. But we don't go around calling people dogs, do we? I involved in prison ministry, and if a prisoner gets called a dog by another prisoner in prison, and it happens, that's the lowest of the low, and they can expect some kind of action coming their way because they would have gotten that name for some particular reason, and it wouldn't have been pleasant. However, after Tim did this session on the camp, I sat with a few leaders and about 10, 15 campers, and we're sitting around talking about this. And I noticed that the leaders wanted to jump to that Jesus comes and Jesus is going to, he deals with that sin. But they want to jump there too quickly. And so I sort of, let's backpedal a bit. Let's talk. So we had to, the first question was, is draw a picture of your heart. And basically we drew a black heart because of original sin. That's our heart. And we talked about, just to sit with it. Don't just move on from it. I think we need to, you've heard the saying, preach the law and then preach grace. Own it that we actually fail to fulfill the law. Own it that inside us there is sin, that there is darkness, that there is evil. Take that home to heart. Own that, because the gospel is absolutely irrelevant if we can't see that. Because he came for the sinners. And so I wanted them to linger with this. It was uncomfortable. It wasn't pleasant just to linger with it, and they want to move on. No, let's sit here some more on it and talk about it some more, which we did, and trying to paint a picture. Because it's either true or it isn't. The world quite often says something different. It says that we're basically good, and circumstances have caused us to make wrong choices, which land us in unfortunate situations. We also have added this subtle deception when we raise our children and say they are special, which they are, aren't they? But without explaining the Bible's truth, that we are born in sin, that we are rebellious at heart, as Revelation says. You might say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And God says, and you don't realise that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Ephesians says it pretty bluntly too. Ephesians 2:1 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. It is God who gives us life. I know this is difficult to digest. I find it healthy to work from a foundation that is true though, that speaks to the hearts of man, that makes the most sense of our state in this world. It will lead us to solid conclusions. I think if this was taught from the outset, a diagnosis with mental health and things like that, I think there would be a swifter diagnosis if you're working from the right foundation, and help that can be delivered that is authentic and resonates with life, resonates truth. At the very least, we need to wrestle with these verses and not palm them off as too hard. I think God likes that when we do, when we wrestle with things. That state where it's not easy. I think God likes us when we're in that state. And I think if you persist, I think it yields fruit. This woman accepted Jesus' evaluation of her. And I don't know about you, but I accept this evaluation about me. Often I ask this question of our leaders. What is the gospel? What Tim's video expresses is an essential part of the gospel message. The point of my question to them is, if we don't understand it ourselves, it will never come up in conversation. The state that we are all in before God is which Christ Jesus came to save us. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. However, even in spite of our self-righteousness, he still saves. And Paul's a perfect example, isn't he? This is what Paul said. He is someone, we can look up to as an apostle of our Lord Jesus. And he says, I think, in 1 Timothy 1:12 to 17 again, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus would use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realise that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honour and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Paul knew what and who he was. He didn't mollycoddle the truth. He owned it. But he doesn't sound like a downtrodden man, does he? No, he starts with thanksgiving in verse 12. He acknowledges his evil and sin. He said, in my insolence. Verse 13. He saw his purpose in verse 12 and marvelled at the graciousness of our Lord in verse 14. And Paul's a classic, isn't he? In the midst of these sentences, he declares the gospel yet again. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's verse 15. What a wonderful message. I'm a sinner too that needs to hear this message. Along with Paul, who says he's the worst of them all. I'm not far behind either. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is merciful. Verse 16. You see, what made Paul the worst? Worst of sinners was that he thought that he was so right. So let me into a little Bible secret that is now being revealed and was always true. In Psalm 51:4 it says, against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. God is right. In relation to this area of who we are before God or without God. Let's be thankful God has been merciful to us and judging us in Christ Jesus. The judgment hasn't fallen on us. It's fallen on Christ. And God's complete justice has been clearly seen in that murderous death of Christ, his Son. And in verse 17, it's just wonderful. Paul gives glory to God. I'll just read that again. All honour and glory to God forever and ever. He's the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen and amen and amen. So Paul has this picture of himself that is extremely helpful for us. Paul knows where he came from. He knows who he is, now is. He knows what his purpose is, and he knows where he's going, which means that we can know these things too. We are ever growing, learning, trusting Jesus. In Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Brothers and sisters, this is our direction. We don't need to run wild. We have a vision. So let's clear it of obstacles as we go, confessing our sin as we need, giving all the glory to God, and being thankful as we run towards him. Let's honour and glorify the King by accepting his judgment of us, like this woman who said, yes, Lord, that's me. Let's continue to make his name great by the way that we live together for him. So God says in Joel 2:28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And Peter quotes that at the beginning of Acts. The Gentiles and all nations. Capture the imagery, like this is bountiful, it's abundant, it's like, you know, it's being poured out, it's being filled up, it's overflowing. God has poured out his spirit. Sometimes I think we don't see that, and I think that's sometimes what we need to remind one another of, that we have his spirit within us, we have the power to do that which he's asked us to do, because he's the one who empowers us. And I loved your testimony of what you guys are doing, and that's the Spirit of God as you do what you do. It's his Spirit, isn't it? We don't have those desires to go outside ourselves. We're basically, well, we're pretty selfish really, aren't we? But when his Spirit comes in, things change. Read God's Word, things change. He asks something of us. He says, trust me. Trust my son. And he gives us the power to do that. So let's follow him for his glory and the benefit of others. So, 2023, let's go. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. Let's do it better. Let's encourage one another. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. Let's follow our Lord Jesus Christ. It will cost us, but let's be willing to pay that cost. Grace and peace to you. I'll just pray. Father, thank you for these patient people hearing these words, Lord. Thank you that you have come to us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus was the only answer because we could not help ourselves. Father, you've brought life to us, and we thank you for that. We thank you. We give you praise for your glory. We give you praise for your graciousness, your mercy, your kindness, and your love. Help us to follow in such ways, Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is some bits and pieces in there that are maybe you've not thought of before, it's always a conversation to keep on thinking about things, to keep talking about things, and I'm open to keep on talking after the service. Yep. Thank you.